saying that is because about a month and a half ago, we had somebody break in and steal our microphone. Our microphone from downstairs, and they stole several other things that we've been waiting for almost 2 months to get this thing in. And so I'm trying it out for this morning, and I'm hoping it works. If you can't hear me, let me know. But thank you so much. I appreciate you guys being up there taking care of this. Open your Bibles up, if you would, to Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. We are going to eventually get to Hebrews chapter 13, which gives us an outline and a guidance of how God wants the church to operate and what God wants us to do as a body of believers. But in order to understand Hebrews chapter 13, we need to go back to Hebrews chapter 12 and get the context of what God's trying to get us to understand. Last week we talked about Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, and we talked about our lives ought to be an example that others can follow. And so coming on the heels of that is a, I don't want to say an unpleasant passage of Scripture. It's a passage of Scripture that's hard to preach. It's a passage of Scripture that's hard to live. Now, I saw a meme the other day on Facebook, and a lot of Facebook is garbage and junk, okay? But I saw a funny saying that somebody put on Facebook, and they said this: we don't need Jesus to take the wheel. We need Jesus to pull over and get out of the car, whip somebody with his flip-flop, all right? We need discipline in this world, all right? We need that, all right? But the thing is, we need somebody else to be disciplined. We don't want to be disciplined. See, that's the amazing thing. We think in our personal lives that we're the only ones that get it all figured out. We're the ones that's doing right. It's everybody else that's messed up. It's our neighbor that's messed up. It's our spouse that's messed up. It's our brother that's messed up. It's our sister that's messed up. It's those in Washington that's messed up. It's everybody else, but it's not us. But the problem is, everybody else is thinking that about us too. So what does it mean about God disciplining us? What does it mean about that? So let's look here in Hebrews chapter number 12. Let's discover what he thinks, what he wants us to understand. Hebrews chapter number 12, and let's look at verse number 3. We'll start there. Speaking of Jesus, says, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. So he was talking about, listen, understand that the life you're living now is going to be an example to those who are coming behind you. In chapter 11, it talks about all those who walked in faith. And now Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, who I believe is Paul, but that's a whole other sermon. He says, listen, here's the deal. If you think you're going through rough times right now, you think you're dealing with issues of life, consider what Jesus went through. Consider how he was abused, how he was crucified. Consider him before you starting to think what's happening to you is bad. Look at what Jesus went through. Verse number 4, he says, for you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Listen, you've not been persecuted to the point where you're dying in blood yet. You've not been to the point disciplined through blood and through beatings yet. He says, Jesus was crucified. He was beaten for you. He says, listen, don't start thinking that you woe is me, but listen to me. He says, listen, understand what Jesus went through. Verse number 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. And here's what it says. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, the disciplining of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourgeth every son whom he receives. Now hold your finger here, and let's find the passage of Scripture that the writer of Hebrews is referring to here. He's referring to an Old Testament passage that was written about this considering. So go back to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 3 is who the writer of Hebrews is referring to. So find Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to come back to Hebrews in just a second. But leave your finger here and go to Proverbs chapter number 3. Find the passage of Scripture that he's referring to here. Now we know the book of Proverbs was written by Solomon, and if anybody was disciplined, it was Solomon, and you see all the things that he went through, and he records all that disciplining in the book of Ecclesiastes. But here in Proverbs chapter number 3, this is like a promise that's being made to people who belong to God. Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 11. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 11. Here's what he writes. He says, "My son, despise not the chastening or the disciplining of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction." Why? Why does he say that? "For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as a father the son in whom he delights. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold." He says, listen, don't be alarmed, don't be wearied when God corrects you, when God disciplines you, when God has to do something in your life or in the nation's life or in the country's life or in the church's life. When God does that, don't be weary in it. See, you know why I'm saying this is difficult? Because none of us want to be disciplined. There's not a single person in this room that's in their right mind that wants to be disciplined. How many of you enjoyed it when your parents spanked you when you did wrong? Anybody enjoy that? If you did, I'll talk with you later on. You got some more issues we got to deal with. But none of us did. My children don't looking forward to my discipline. They don't come walking up to me and say, "Dad, would you do me a favor? Would you please spank me today?" Absolutely not. I can't even chase them down now, okay? They can run away real quick, easy now. They don't like the discipline, and we don't either. So you say, "Now, wait a minute, Brother Brian, are you saying that we ought to look forward to discipline? Are you saying, Brother Brian, that we ought to say, 'Great God, please discipline me'?" Well, let's look what Hebrews says. Go back to now chapter 12. He was referring to Proverbs, of course, but look what the writer of Hebrews is saying. Okay? Look what he's saying. He says this in verse number 5. He says, "You have forgotten what Solomon wrote to you," he says. "You've forgotten that." And this is what he said. "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord." Number one, do not despise God's chastening. Don't despise God's discipline. It's very easy for us to get to the point where we say, "You know what? I don't want God to chasten me. And if he's going to chasten me, I'm going to hate him because of it. I'm going to throw my fist up him and say, 'God, I don't want you.'" See, here's the problem. When we're disciplined, oftentimes we automatically think that we've done something wrong. Oftentimes we think, "Well, God's disciplining me because he hates me. Or he's allowing me to go through this because he's angry at me." Brothers and sisters, just because bad things happen doesn't mean that God's necessarily disciplining you. You can't blame every bad thing in life on God's discipline. If you've got a problem with your life, if you've got a problem with the situation, that doesn't mean that God is disciplining you. When I had the stroke in my left eye, and with going blind, I had somebody look at me face to face and they said, "Have you ever considered that God did that to you?" I didn't know what to say to him. I said, I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, why would God do that to me purposely? See, I cannot blame this on God. I can look back and blame it on the genes that came behind me. I can look on it and blame it on so-and-so for doing this to me or doing. But you know what? Sometimes things just happen. Sometimes things just take place. Just because it's something negative that has happened in life, it's not necessarily God sending a discipline to us. See, because what happens is if we have that mindset that something negative happens, that it's God disciplining us, then you know what begins to happen? We begin to look at God like he's a disciplinarian. We get to look at God like, "Oh, he hates me and he's angry and he wants to hurt me all the time. So I got to be a good little boy, because if I'm not a good little boy, he's going to blast me. He's going to pound me." No, that's not who God is. God is a God of mercy. God is a God of grace. God is a God of love. And he's trying to get our attention sometimes. Yes, he has to discipline us. Yes, he has to remind us about the issues of life. But he does it out of love, not out of anger. Let me ask you, parents, be honest this morning. How many of you ever disciplined your child out of anger? Parents, I'm going to talk about the children. How many of you disciplined your children out of anger? Come on now, be honest. All right, you're angry. Oh, come here. Get that flip-flop out. Start beating their hind end out of anger. But then you look back and you say, you know what? Ugh, I shouldn't have done that out of anger. Oh, they deserved it, but I shouldn't have done it out of anger. Our God does not discipline us out of unrighteous anger. He does it sometimes to get our attention, to keep us from getting into a situation we shouldn't get into. Don't despise it when it takes place. If something happens that doesn't go your way, if something happens, the first thing you need to do is check your heart and say, honestly, say, okay, God, are you trying to get a hold of me? God, are you trying to speak to me about something? Because honestly, and I want you to honestly examine this. We know when we deserve to be disciplined. How many of you agree, you know that when you've done wrong, you deserve it. You deserve to be disciplined. We don't like it, though. We hate it. I hate it. I hate it when God disciplines me or when something comes up, I'm like, oh, I know I deserve that, but I sure didn't like it. So why does God do it? Look what it says, and here's the reason, all right? Verse number 6, for whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. God does it out of love. God does it out of love. Now, wait a minute, Brother Brian. I don't ever remember my parents giving me a spanking or giving me a beating and saying, oh, by the way, I love you. That's hard to fathom, but remember this. God is not like your earthly parent. God is not equal to your earthly father. God is not equal to your earthly mother. God is the God who knows all about you. And there are times he's got to bring things into our life personally, as a family, as a church, as a nation, as a world, to get our attention and say, enough is enough. That's why they built electric fences. An animal continues to run into an electric fence. The first time they run into it, they learn that, whoa, wait a minute, I didn't like that. That hurt. The second time the animal runs into it, says, ooh, I need to stay away from that. Because they learn through discipline. Same thing in our lives, brothers and sisters. If we get into a situation in life where we're not going the direction God wants us to do, we're not doing what God wants us to do, we're not being what God plans for us to be, and we've got the plan figured out, sometimes he's got to bring discipline. Why? Because he loves us. He knows what the danger is. I've used the illustration before, and it fits perfectly in here. One day when John was in preschool, and we were getting ready to walk across a road to get him into preschool classroom, I was in my truck, and it was the truck before I got the one now, and I was getting him out, and I was getting ready to walk him across, but unfortunately, people, when they would drive through the parking lot, they wouldn't pay attention to what they were doing. They would just speed through the parking lot because they were trying to find some place to park. And so every day when John would get out, I'd get a hold of his hand, and we would look both ways, and we'd walk so he didn't get run over. But one day, he slipped out of my hand, and he went running around the truck to try to get to class because he was so excited about it. But what happened was a car was coming and did not see him. And I had to literally slap him down. Because if I hadn't slapped him down, that car would have nailed him and run him right over. Now, how many of you think I was being mean to him? I had to discipline him. It hurt. He got scraped up and he cried and he looked at me like I was the worst father in the world. But I knew what was going to happen if I didn't do it. How many of you agree I did it out of love? Sometimes God has to do that for us. We don't see it coming. We don't see what's on the other end. We don't see what's coming around the corner. We don't realize and understand the decision that we might have made, and we're getting ready to do something. God has to say, no, don't. I want to stop you. And we look at him like, God, why? You hate me. And God says, no, I love you. See, if you belong to God, if you are his child, God always does what's in our best interest for his honor and his glory. He doesn't do it out of anger towards you. You don't have to worry about falling into the hands of an angry God. God's not angry with you. You're not condemned. Romans chapter 8 tells us that. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, God's not condemning you. And everything he does is to bring him honor and glory and for your best interest. And when he disciplines us, it's out of love, not out of condemnation. But sometimes when he disciplines us, we look at him and we shake our fist and we say, "How dare you? You must hate me." No, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. When we get out of line and we get out of his will, sometimes he's got to discipline us. And it's all kinds of different varying ways. Brothers and sisters, you don't have to fear God. He loves us. But understand, he'll only let us go so far. See, that happened in my life. I got saved, and I was doing right, and I got baptized and everything else. But then I got away from him. This was a long time ago, way back when dinosaurs roamed the earth. And I got away from him, and I did things, involved myself in things that I should not have done. And he brought a situation into life and got a hold of me. And it was like the voice clearly spoke to me, said this: either you get right or you're done. I had two choices: keep doing what I wanted to do or get in line with what God wanted me to do. If I had decided to do what I wanted to do, I would not be standing here this morning. I would not have married that beautiful woman, had these beautiful children, being a pastor, these wonderful folks. There's no way. I'd have been 6 feet under, no doubt in my mind whatsoever. God had to get a hold of my heart and say, enough is enough. But did he do it out of anger? No! He did it out of love, because he knew what my future held. He knew what the potential was for me. All right? So verse number 6, it says, "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives." He says, listen, understand, God's discipline is because he loves you. Well, Brother Brian, so you're telling me that I got cancer, or Brother Brian, you're telling me that this happened because God loves me. I'm not telling you that necessarily you getting cancer or you getting sick was God's discipline on your life. That's not what I'm telling you, because sometimes we just get sick. Sometimes cancer comes. Sometimes things happen. It's got nothing to do with God disciplining us. But here's my question for you. When things do go wrong, what's the first thing you do? Gripe and complain and look for people to blame? Or do you get on your knees and say, "Oh God, teach me through this. Oh God, show me through this." See, right now, I firmly believe that God is chastening the world. I firmly believe that he is chastening the United States of America. He is chastening his people. And he's trying to get us to wake up and say, enough is enough, folks. Stop being lazy. Stop being lackadaisical. Stop just going through the motions. Start living for me. And you are. You folks, you know what you and your God relationship with God is, and I'm not judging you. But sometimes God says, listen, enough is enough. Stop doing what you're doing. Stop just being a social Christian and start being the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Start doing that. Now you say, now wait a minute, brother, how dare you judge me? I'm not judging you. You know your relationship with God. And it's him you've got to answer to. But when things happen, do we blame him automatically, or do we examine our hearts like David did? David said, "Oh God, try my heart. Oh God, see if there's any wicked way in me." Why did David do that? Because he wanted God to speak to him and show him if he was right or if he was wrong. And why does God do that? Because he loves us. So number one, don't despise it. Don't go against, don't get angry at God. There's a lot of people who have left a body of believers because they got angry at God. They've stopped going to a church and they've stopped associating and reading the Bible and everything else because God made them mad, because God didn't answer a prayer that they wanted, or because God didn't meet their standards. Brothers and sisters, if you belong to God, God does what He does out of love. All right, so don't despise it, all right? Number two, don't faint. Don't give up. Here's what it says, verse number 7. If you endure discipline or chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Don't faint. Don't get weary in it. Don't panic. Don't give up. Because we've all been disciplined. I've had to discipline my children. Does that mean I didn't love them? Absolutely not. But did they get weary about it? Yes. And get mad about it? I'm sure that they would go to bed, especially JT. He would probably pray and say, "Oh God, please, please God, make my dad break out in a rash." Or worse. It's all your fault, JT. You've been praying that. No. We get weary when we're chastened. We get weary when we're disciplined. And we want to give up. "Oh God, you must hate me. Oh God, you must be against me. Oh God, I'm just going to give up. I'm just going to go hide away in a mountain somewhere. I'm going to go hide away at the beach somewhere. I'm going to go hide away where there's nobody around me. And you can't touch me, God." No. Don't grow weary. Remember Elijah? Remember what happened at the spiritual battle that took place there? And Jezebel threatens him and says, "Listen, I'm going to kill you just like you killed all those." Was that God's discipline? Not necessarily. But what did Elijah do? He ran. He hid. He said, "I can't handle this anymore." May I share with you a promise and a truth? You can't hide from God. There's no place that you and I can go that God doesn't already know where you are. When discipline comes, don't grow weary and faint in it. Don't give up. Because why? Because God loves you. And God is allowing these things for a reason. Don't grow faint in it. Don't give up. "Well, I'm going to give up." No. Say, "God, teach me through this. God, help me to know what's going on." So don't despise it, number one. Number two, don't give up. Look at number three, verse number 8. It says, "But if you are without chastisement, where are all partakers, then you are bastards and not sons." Oh, you just cussed. That word is not a cuss word if used in the context that God is using it here. It means illegitimate. If you're not chastised, if you're living life like hell itself, and you're living a life that's not bringing glory to God whatsoever, that there's no shred of evidence that Christ is living in you, there's been no change in your life, and God's not disciplining you, guess what? It might be a thing saying, "Listen, you don't even belong to Him. I'm not going to go to some neighbor's house and chastise their children, even though they might deserve it. I'm not going to go knock on somebody's house door and say, Kelly, Lou, I'm going to bring your kids out. I'm going to spank them. Do I have a right to do that?" Yeah, sure. There you go. Hey, there we go. Hey, you heard it right there. But legally, do I have a right to do that? Absolutely not. Why? Because they don't belong to me. My children, mine, belong to me. I discipline them because I love them. If you belong to God, He's going to discipline you because you belong to Him. You belong to Him. But if somebody's living their life that is completely out of God's will and He doesn't discipline them, He doesn't have anything to do with them, guess what? They may not belong to Him. Well, there you are being judgmental. No. I'm just saying what it says right here. It says, "But if you are without chastisement," he says, "whereof all are partakers, then you are illegitimate and you don't belong to Him." I know that's hard to hear. And I know I'm not going to win any popularity points by saying that. But it's the truth. Verse number 9. Furthermore, we've had our fathers of the flesh, which corrected us. And we gave them reverence. In other words, we gave them awe. We gave them respect because they were our parent. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they, our earthly fathers, for a few days they chastened us after their own pleasure. They did it because they wanted to bring glory to themselves. But he, speaking of God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Number 4, God does it for our profit. How many of your dads or moms said this? This hurts me more than it hurts you. And you knew they were lying to you. What do you mean this hurts you more? Turn around, let me hit you with the belt. Turn around, let me hit you with the spanking spoon, mama. Here, let me get... No. No. God allows discipline for our profit, for our betterment, for something that we don't see, but he's going to create in us. See, when God got a hold of my heart at Hurlburt Field, Florida, and he spoke to me and gave me the choice, he knew what his plans were for me. I had no clue, but he did. And he says, I've got a better path for you if you'll just follow what I want you to do. It's your profit that he does it. Verse number 11. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but instead it's grievous. Nevertheless, after it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby, is going to come a time where God's going to be glorified and you're going to grow in righteousness through the discipline. Right now, we may not like what's... I don't like the discipline that God's putting the church through right now. I really don't like it. I don't like what has happened with the panic. I don't like what has happened with people not doing what they used to do. I do not like what's happening right now. But we are going to stand firm on the Word of God. We're going to stand firm on the promises that God has made. We're not giving up. We're not going to give in to fear. We're going to be smart and we're going to do things that bring Him honor and glory. But listen, it doesn't seem joyful right now that these things are taking place. It doesn't. I'm not jumping up and down saying, yay, they're rioting! I'm not jumping down saying, yay, people are dying of COVID. Yay, I'm not doing that. It's not joyous. But when we come out the other side, when God finally gets done chastening and we learn from this, we're going to look back and say, look what God did. Don't faint. Don't despise it. Don't think he hates you. You're his children. Learn from it. Grow in it and realize there's a purpose in it. Now, John doesn't remember what happened that day. He's too young when that took place. So he can't say, well, Dad, thank you for doing what you did, because he looked at me, I'll never forget that look. He looked at me like I was the worst person in the world. Don't look at God like he's the worst God in the world. Say, God, you know what you're doing. I'm in your hand. You're the potter. I'm the clay. Use me and make me what you want me to be. Discipline's not fun, but God does it because he loves us and wants what's best for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. God, discipline is not easy. Your word tells us clearly right here in front of us that it is not pleasant at the present time. And I would be a liar, I would be a fraud if I stood right here this morning and in your presence told these beautiful people, these wonderful people, that it's easy to go through what's happening in life right now. Because God, it's not. But Lord, it's a clear sign that you are disciplining your church through this also. You've not given up on us. You've not abandoned us. You're causing us to look to you and to find ways to minister in ways we've never done before. Help us to learn. Help us to grow. Help us to be closer to what you want us to be instead of what we want to be. Help us to learn, Lord. Thank you that we are your children. Thank you, God, that we belong to you and that you love us enough to discipline us. Now, Father, examine our hearts. And if there's something in our life that's going to require disciplining, may we learn from it, and may we even prevent it by getting right with you before it's too late. Lord, thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. He's the only hope that we have. In his precious name I pray. Amen. One other thing I want to share with you about this. Just because somebody's going through something doesn't mean that we have a right to look at them and say God is disciplining them. Uh-uh. You love them, you pray for them, and you support them and be there for them. Don't judge them. God is God, and you're not. You're not. We need to love each other. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, three quick things I need to share.